The election is over, but for Democrats, the postmortem has just begun. Vice President Harris's defeat this week has put the party in the position of figuring out what went wrong and where to go from here. NPR White House correspondent Deepa Shivram has more.
On July 21st, Vice President Harris was at home in Washington making breakfast for her grandnieces when she got a phone call.
And we're working on the puzzle, and the phone rings.
Right.
So I said, Auntie, you'll be right back.
As she told ABC's The View, it was President Biden calling to tell her he was dropping out.
And I'll tell you, the first thing I asked him is, are you sure?
That day kicked off Harris's historic 107-day sprint to Election Day. Historic because of who she is, the first woman of color to become a party's nominee for president. But it was also historic in its timeline. Harris ran the shortest presidential campaign in modern history.
As president of the United States, I will sign it into law.
On day one of the campaign, she had to start reintroducing herself to the country and reset after a tumultuous first few years of her vice presidency. In Milwaukee, at her first event, thousands packed a school gymnasium. Harris told the crowd about her history as a prosecutor and how she went after fraudsters and criminals.
So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type.
That thrilled Democrats like Celia Jackson, who was there that day.
This is the energy. This is the shot in the arm that the Dems needed in order to turn this around. So I'm really hopeful.
As the rally crowds kept growing, Harris was raising millions of dollars. The momentum kept building through the Democratic convention in Chicago in August.
I accept your nomination.
But then there was a drop-off in energy, says Chris Scott, Harris's director of coalitions. He says the momentum didn't come back up until October. He says that happened because campaign leaders never fully adjusted the campaign to fit Harris.
The campaign, as it was originally built, was built for a different type of nominee. And so while you can feel that magic in the crowd sizes and that energy of how she just filled arenas, I think a lot of us, especially that started with the Obama campaign, expected that also switch in organizing, and that never fully happened.
The problem was that Harris's message and her policy plans were too similar to Biden, and Biden was unpopular. Harris herself struggled to carve her own lane. Here she is in the same interview on The View last month.
If anything, would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind.
But voters wanted something different. Even though Harris was trying to run as a change candidate and bring a, quote, new generation of leadership to Washington, that wasn't enough. Young people, Latinos, and Asian Americans swung for Trump in the election, favoring him on issues like the economy and immigration over Democrats' messaging on abortion and saving democracy. So on Wednesday afternoon, Harris called Trump to concede and turned her focus to the last speech she'd give of her campaign.
While I concede this election, I do not concede the fight that fueled this campaign. The fight for freedom, for opportunity, for fairness, and the dignity of all people.
Harris had always said she was the underdog. Some Democrats said she gave the party their best chance after Biden's belated decision to drop out. Here's Adrian Shropshire, who directs Black PAC, an organization that turns out Black voters.
Hopefully, you know, we will look back and, you know, have some measure of appreciation for exactly what she was called upon to do.
In the coming weeks, Harris and Biden will wrap up the 70 or so days left in their administration. Meanwhile, Harris's campaign staff are tying up loose ends, making thank you calls and looking for their next jobs, something Harris herself will now have to figure out, too. Deepa Shivram, NPR News, Washington.